pick up a year, and we're gonna drop off a bunch of years. And they said, well, how in the world we're gonna recognize Jesus if we're gonna be the same age he is? I said, well, that's number one thing. You'll recognize him by his scars. He's the only one that's gonna have scars. And he's gonna have a scar upon his head, scars in his hands, scar on his feet, and a scar on his side. That's the only way we're gonna be able to recognize him. Because the scripture does say we're gonna be just like him, just like unto him. So that means that we're gonna be just like him in mind, spirit, and body. We're gonna be just like him, except for that one thing, and that's the mark that we put down so many years ago. We are the ones for that mark. They said, well, I didn't think I put a mark on him. Well, we all put a mark on him because of Adam, because of the first Adam. And then the second Adam, he come on the scene, and which is Jesus Christ. If you will, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Okay, it says right in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scripture concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to me the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means know at length I might have prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft-time I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our Father, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing each one of us out to church. And Father, where we can learn a little more about you, Father, and I pray that you may speak through me, that Father, that I and the rest of the individuals that are here, they're saved by the grace of God. And I believe everyone here today is saved. And my prayer is, God, that you'll just help us to look to thee for what we need to do for you, Lord. And Father, I know that you wanna do something and you're just eager to do it, Father. But Lord, as you eager to do it, Father, we, most of all, we've got to also be eager to do what we can for you, because we do love you. And Father, if we don't love you, then we just sit at home. We don't have to do nothing else. But Father, if we say that we love you, then that means that we have to do something for you. And that's to be your witness, to be the one that will carry the gospel, carry the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Savior. Father, we thank you and we pray for this service today. Lord, speak to hearts, touch our minds, and just touch in any way, Father, you see fit. You know what we need before we even know it. I know sometimes we say that we need this and we need that. No, I don't think we need this and that. Only thing we need to do is just be faithful unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Verse 7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's speaking of the Christians. That's speaking of the ones that are saved by the grace of God. That's speaking of the saints of God. And the saints of God is who made us saints? I didn't make my own self a saint. I became a saint when I believed in Jesus Christ. And when I asked him to come into my heart and save my soul. You also became a saint when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your soul. And there's a whole lot of individuals out here. Yes, they say that they're saved. And they say that they're going to heaven and they read the King James Bible. But yet they haven't become saints of God yet. Why haven't they? Because they're not doing what God the Father wants them to do. Now, that's just like you and that's just like me. When we get home, if we have something to do and we don't do it, how's it going to get done? It ain't going to get done. We've got to do our part to get things done. Jesus has already done his part. He has come and he has brought the gospel to this world, around the world, in the corners of the world. He has brought the gospel to people back then, into Rome and everyone. And then Paul, right here, he says right here in verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed." Paul told Jesus Christ, says, once he met him on the road to Damascus, on that one day's journey there, the Lord saved his soul. And the Lord Jesus knew Paul. He knew Paul better than he knew his own self. Because Paul, surprisingly, I don't think Paul really knew what he was going to be doing from one day to the next. Like we don't. We don't know what we're going to be doing tomorrow. Why don't we? Because we haven't got to tomorrow yet. We will not know what we're going to do on Monday, the 12th, what is it? 16th. Excuse me. On Monday the 16th, 2018. I'll get it straight here in a minute. Numbers are crossing me up this morning for some reason. But the Lord God knew what he was going to do today. He knew it. Why? Because to God, there is no tomorrow. It's always today. That's the reason that he asked his writers to put down here in the Word of God, that we can understand it and we don't have to worry about trying to analyze it. But we do. We worry about trying to analyze the Word of God. And when we do that, we come up short every time. Because he said, what does it say in the scripture? It says, today is what? The day of salvation. It doesn't say tomorrow is the day of salvation. You know the reason why it doesn't? Because tomorrow never gets here. We're always in that 24-hour span. We're not in a 42-hour span. We're not in a 72-hour span. We're not in a three-week span. But we are always in a 24-hour span for what we're living for. And that's for today. Today. And I've had people to tell me, say, "Preacher, you're crazy." I said, "Yeah, one thing about it though, I may be crazy, but I'll tell you one thing. I got the left-hand nut on the right-hand bolt." I says, "That's the truth." I says, "You say you want to wait until next week. You're going to come to church next week. You got to get things squared away." You'll never get things squared away that way. The only way you're going to ever get squared away is you're going to have to get squared away by somebody taking the gospel to you and you allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that he does. And the Holy Spirit just don't show up and don't do nothing. No, when the Holy Spirit shows up, he starts his work. He starts his work right at that very moment in your heart. But how did he get to that point in your life? He got to that point in your life because of the man of God that was standing preaching the Word of God by what the Bible says and not putting nothing else in it and taking anything away from it. But it's preaching the Word of God. That's the reason people will go out and visit. That's the reason Christians go out and visit. That's the reason we need to go out and visit. Why? Because I've got loved ones right now. I've got a brother and his wife. With everything that I know about them, physically speaking, and what I see in their life, neither one of them was saved. They said, "Well, preacher, how can you say that? You don't know for sure." I said, "Well, what I see is not Christ-like. It's not trying to live up and to be a saint of God. To be a saint of God is to beloved of God, called to be saints of God. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father." And if you have the grace of God on your life, people in the world is going to see it. They'll ask somebody else, "What in the world has happened to them? Every time I've seen them, they used to have a Budweiser in hand. Every time I've seen them, they was always talking filthy trash. What's happened to them?" Jesus Christ is what's happened to them. Jesus Christ is what's happened to them. And that's when they became saints of God. Why? When they become saints is when they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ will turn their life completely around. How many of you have ever heard anybody get up and testify to the fact that if it wasn't for God that they'd been in hell today because of the life that they lived? They've lived on drugs, they've lived on alcohol, and all of that. I've heard of testimonies like that. My own testimony. I mean, I wasn't taking drugs, and I wasn't no alcoholic. But in God's eyes, I was just as bad as the individual out here beating his wife, beating his children, beating his mother-in-law and father-in-law, and doing everything he can to defy the word of God. I was just as guilty. Because it don't take but one sin. That's all it takes. Is one sin. Says right here in chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together." If you're a sinner, and if you're not doing what God wants you to do, yeah, everything that you're going to do is going to work right together. Because one sin is going to carry you all into the next sin. And then that sin is going to carry you all the way back to where you started from. And then eventually, it's going to show up in your life. It's going to show up in your life by your age. I know individuals today, the life that they lived, they was battered, they was bruised, and their life shows it today in their life, in their looks, it shows. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all things work together. Why? Because of God. Because of his love that he has put in our heart and put in our mind and put in our soul. That is what that's what this inward spirit is all about, is the love of God. It's It's about the love of God. To them that are called according to his purpose. What did he save you for? What did he save me for? When we come to him and when we ask him, Lord Jesus, would you have mercy on my soul? Would you just save me? And I won't have to worry about going to hell. And I'll do everything that you ask me to do. That's what it says right here. A lot of part of that, to them who are called. Called to what? Salvation. According to what? According to my purpose? Because I want to be a better man. I want somebody to look at me a little better than what they look at me before. No. It's not according to me. It's not according to what I'm going to do or what I can do or where I come from and where I'm going. It's not according to that. It's according to what? His purpose. His purpose. And his purpose is for me to grow in the grace and the knowledge of his truth. I don't know if I told you or not, but before I ever surrendered the call to preach, I was nervous to death. I was so nervous. I said, God, not me. Not me, Lord. No. Lord, you know, Sam Joyce over there, he knows a whole lot more about the Bible than I do. He would make you a good pastor. He'd make you a good preacher. Call him. He said, I've already called him to do something. And he's doing what he's supposed to do. He says, I don't want no smart man. He said, I don't want nobody I don't want to call nobody that actually says that they know everything about the scripture. That they can quote scripture verbatim. And they know what the word of God says verbatim. I said, well, God, well, I can't argue with that. Because, God, I don't know it. I don't know it verbatim. I don't know how to understand it verbatim. I just don't know anything about it. The only thing I can tell you, Lord, is that once I met you, once the Holy Spirit introduced me to you, then your spirit drew me in to where you was at. And yes, and when you drew me in, I had to confess my sins. I had to say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, undone, without you and without hope. And I cannot do anything without you, Lord. Would you please come into my heart? I know you don't have to, but would you please come into my heart? See, that's all God wants. God just wants us. He wants the individual that has the availability just to be available whenever he asked the Holy Spirit to speak to you about someone, about something. He just wants you to be faithful to that. And I said, Lord, I can't argue with you no more. Because you told me exactly how much I know. I don't know nothing. Then he says, You the man I want. You the one that I want today, right now, very moment. And I'll need another one. Today also. And he may not. And be in the position that you're in, where you just said you don't know nothing. I can use you in that manner. I can use you in getting the gospel out. And I know I've let him down. I've let him down so much. But he'll never let me down. He's never said to me, says Donnie, you know, you just told me that you let me down. I know you did. But I don't hold it against you. I don't hold it against you. Lord, who do you hold it against? Nobody. I just want you to just continue listening. Continue praying and talking to me. And don't worry about what you don't understand in the scripture. Don't worry about that. Because what you don't understand today is that you don't need it for today. And you don't need it for the next day. But when it does come up, and when you need it, then that's when it's going to be revealed back unto you for what the scripture says. And it's going to even come up with the verse, the scripture, and everything. And I know that you say you can't remember verses. And you say you can't quote verses because you can't remember them. But guess what? I can help you to remember that verse. I can help you to remember the chapter and the verse. And I can help you to remember the references that the Bible takes. Other verse. And you can run the references. Sometimes when I get down, I get to point and I start running references from one verse to another verse, another into another book, and another chapter of the Bible. I get to the point that I got so much going on up here, I don't even know what way I'm going. That's just like a whole lot of times up here. When I'm up here, yes, I've got a message. Yes, I've worked on a message. I prayed about a message and everything. But you know what? The message that I prayed for and the message that I thought was supposed to be wasn't the message that the Lord wanted. You know, that's just like today. Majority of the pastors, the preachers, and the evangelists, what they preach on, they preach on the gospel, they preach on the word of God, but they act like they're preaching to lost, hell-bound sinners. To me, this morning, if I was to stand up here and preach about hell, and I preach about you going to hell, and you going to hell, what have I done? I haven't helped you. I've discouraged you. Sometimes I'm discouraged to the point that I don't know which way is up. Yes, the devil, he works. He works in mysterious ways. He works in ways that we think God is working. But God's not working in them ways. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness. With our spirit. With my spirit. With your spirit. When we come into the church and we assemble here, every Christian that is in the house of God, and each one of them will bear the same spirit if they're children of God. The same spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we could say it this way. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of the devil. A whole lot of people out here, that's what they are. They are children of the devil. And yes, and they have a spirit also. But their spirit bears witness with the devil. I'm so glad this morning that I believe I can honestly say with 100% assurity that everybody that's in this building today, right now, and I don't believe I can hesitate or anything, that everyone in here is the children of God. Not one in here is a children of the devil. Because you don't bear witness to the devil. You bear witness unto God. How do I know that to be 100% true? Let me tell you. You're here. And some of the others are not. So they are, one spirit is fighting against the other spirit. The inward spirit is fighting for the outward spirit, which is a man spirit. The inward spirit is fighting against the outer man. Always fighting. You think Paul had to fight? Oh, yes. Paul had to fight it every day. Every minute or every second of every day. Why? Because when Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and asked him to come into his heart, he said unto the Lord, "For I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who's he speaking to that? The just. Is he speaking about the individual out here that's using God's name in vain? Is he speaking about the individual out here that's taking drugs and drinking alcohol and cursing? And out here and there's all this sex perversion is going on? And how an individual can just leave home and go and shack up with a woman the rest of that day, and then come home at night and everything's okay. Everything's not okay. Sin is intervened. And what does the scripture say? For the wages of sin. What's the wage of sin? Well, that's what we're going to get paid by. The wages of sin. For the wages of sin. And that's what a whole lot of people are going to be paid by. That's going to be all the inheritance that they're going to ever get and ever receive. The devil's going to come up to them and afterwards and say, now, here's your wages. Here's your wages for following me. Here's your wages for doing what I asked you to do. Here's your wages for when I asked you to beat the man called the Messiah. Here's the wages for you when you took him and you laid him down on the cross and you nailed him to the cross. That's your wages. And your wages is when you placed the post into the ground. And you just didn't go there and just take the post and just take it.
Now, before you lifted it up, you just lift it down slowly. Well, when you hit the bottom, you let it go. No, they took it. And I believe that they raised the post as high as they could raise it. With them lifting it up. By the way, his arm was stretched down. Where his leg was stripped out. I believe they picked it post up. They picked up the cross. As high as they could get it up to the ground. Right over the hole. And the hole, just any individual just hole that you went up at and just dug your hole out, and that's all you could get in with just a post. No, I believe the people, they dug the hole larger than the post. Probably 3 or 4 times larger than what the post was. So when they had him up, they would drop it. They would let go of the post. And the post would fall down and hit the bottom. The bottom of the post would hit it there. And it would hit the ground so hard it would just like that. Just like that. And when he did, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Lord, I'm sorry that I was part of that. I'm sorry that I was part of causing you having to go through that.
He had to go through that. When Jesus Christ, when he left heaven, he left it for a reason. To come, walk on this earth, and to teach people. What the Word of God said. And see, he was all about love. He really did not even condemn anybody. Even the Romans, when they beat him, and when they took him, they took his arms and wrapped it around the post, and they whipped him. And they just didn't take the strap and just like that and then put it back. No, they went like that. Where would snap? Why? Because of the pottery that was broken and was tied to the whip. Because the scripture says in the Old Testament that his back was like unto a furrow. What is a furrow? A furrow is out here when you got a piece of land out there that hasn't been broken up. You've got a piece of land out there, just like the land around this church. It hasn't been bothered at all. It's got grass on it. But you can ask the farmer
to come over here with his tractor and go right behind the, maybe the fellowship hall, or maybe on that side, or somewhere up and down, or even in the front. And say, we need some land that was broke up a little bit, and we need it to where it can be manned to where we can go out there and just plant some rose or some bud game to help some people in the community, to help some people in the church. What's the first piece of equipment they're going to bring in? They're not going to bring a disc in, because a disc is not going to do nothing to it. Oh yeah, it'll take it up, it'll break it up a little bit. Yeah. But you'll still see the grass. The grass hadn't been turned over. But you either got a one bottom flat or a two bottom flat. You put it on the back of that tractor. And you take and you put that two bottom flat right there in the ground. And then you ease off of the clutch. And the tractor is going, you're going to feel it and you're going to hear it where the power will speed up a little bit. Why? Because this, the two bottom plow or the single bottom plow is a dug into the ground. Dug way down beneath the roots of the grass. Then he's going to go from one end to the other. And he's going to turn it over. It's just not going to break it back up and then lay it right back. Because see, if it done that, it will be no use in doing what you done. Because when you go and you turn it over, you turn it, and if it turns right back over, the roots are still going to grow. Why? Matter of fact, the grass is going to grow a whole lot faster. Why? Because it's had some breathing room beneath the roots. But no, that's like unto Jesus.
why that was just, that's the reason they put him on the cross, or put him there on that post that day. And that's the reason they called his back. It says it looked like the scars of a furrow. Where it went down deep into the flesh, down beneath into it, to where it would hit some of the organs maybe, or hit the bones and pull the bones loose. See, that's what my sins done to him. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Because you want him to mow on. Nope, sure won't. But where was the seed come from? Where was the seed passed from down through the years? From Adam and Eve. The first Adam. That's where it came from. So naturally, I was born into sin. I've never known anybody to ever been born and been birthed and took the first breath that anybody can ever say truthfully that they was born. Sometimes, you know, we as mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and everything, it's kind of hard for us to digest that. It is. Kind of hard to digest that. And knowing that, hey, my wife just gave birth to our baby boy, a baby girl. And I know what the scripture says. It's hard for me to fathom that. It's hard for me to digest that. That's the reason. Before we'll reach anybody outside of a family, we've got to reach somebody within the family. Why? Hey, yes, I had three other brothers. All three of my brothers, they knew what I was before I got saved. They knew my running around and everything. They knew it all about me. But after I got saved, then about 6-8 months later, I did my study, just reading the Bible and everything, and I says, Lord, I know you're my Savior, but I want you to be also my Lord. It's a difference. It's a difference when we can call him our Savior than can we call him our Lord. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we pray this morning, Lord Jesus, as the people come this morning, Father, if they will just come and lay someone's name upon the altar this morning, Father. And Lord, that they will just pray for them and lift them up to you. Yes, Father, it may be for family members. It may be a co-worker. It may could be the they think it's their best friend. But
my best friend, because I know that you'll never tell on me. If I do something wrong, you'll go out here and spread it or make it bigger than what it is, like a whole lot of people do. Father, Lord, we pray for Faith Baptist Church. Father, I don't know the reason why we're going through this trial. But Father, would you please reveal it? If it's not to me, Father, reveal it to someone. Reveal it to someone and says, I believe if we try this, then we make them come. I'm not going to compromise your word, God. But it's things that I believe that we can do somewhere along the line to where we touch our spirit, touch our heart, touch our soul, Father. And Lord Jesus, as we leave this sanctuary today, Father, that each one of us can say, it's been good to be in your house. We thank you and we love you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. If you feel like you need to come this morning, you come. I know I haven't been doing it, but you know.